I was just sitting there reading the Bible and waiting on the Lord today, and he rolled this revelation through me. This is exactly what he said. As I was sitting in my prayer closet today, I heard the Lord say, he said, I'm waiting on true faith, and that is all that I'm waiting on. Most people believe they possess true faith and are blaming the lack of manifestation on two main areas. I'll read it all the way through and then I'll read it through again. Amen. I heard the Lord say, I'm waiting on true faith, and that is all I'm waiting on. Boy, when he said that, he just exploded. He says, most believe they possess true faith and are blaming the lack of manifestation on two main areas. First, they're blaming the problem on the devil. However, I have already defeated him. In other words, the reason why this is not working is because of the devil. He's really not the problem. He was a problem, but Jesus fixed that problem. Second, they blame the problem on timing. And now I added this one because when he said two main areas, what he said was the devil and timing. But when he gave me the revelation, there was another area that's unfolded. So I just called it the third area. They blame me for the problem, when most of the time it's a result of their own blockages. The devil, timing, indicting God in blockages. There's like four of them, but the two main were, we blame it on the devil, we blame it on timing. Timing was the big revelation I'm going to get over to you tonight. What happens when you have a timing issue, it's not God's time. What you're going to do is project the manifestation out into some future date. That's called timing. Okay? I'm going to get into timing in a minute. Let's address the first one, the devil. I'm going to give you a few scriptures you might already know. Because when he told me this, he said, I'm waiting on true faith. That's all I'm waiting for. And he said like this, I'm waiting on true faith, and that's all I'm waiting on. Pretty much just eliminated all the excuses. He said, first, they're blaming the problem on the devil. However, I have already defeated him. Now, the devil is a problem until you take care of the problem. You understand that? You have to enforce what the Lord already done. So I want to focus on the timing thing, because that's the big one. We get in big trouble when you start projecting things out. It'll never arrive as long as you keep it out somewhere else. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. If he has the keys, that means he has the keys. And if he has the keys, that means that he has defeated the devil. Therefore, the devil is not our problem. He only wants you to think that he's your problem. I'm waiting on faith, true faith, and that is all I'm waiting on. Then he said, most people already believe they possess true faith. You know, that's the hardest thing to do, is convince somebody. Because most everybody thinks they're born again. They all believe they have faith. And they decide to exercise that faith when trouble comes. And it doesn't always produce the manifestation. How do I know if I have true faith? Because faith will add substance to what you're believing for. You will see the result of it. And so until that level comes, which I'm going to get into tonight, about what true faith is, because knowledge is not faith. I believe, or I have the knowledge that God heals, but I don't always know how to appropriate that healing in my body. Amen? When I was given that word of knowledge on Sunday, I felt the three crunch disc in my back, and somebody had been carrying that a while. And when he got up and the Lord healed those discs, he said, you know, those discs had survived a lot of prayer lines. And sometimes it's possible to carry something. You can adopt a revelation that it's not God's time to heal me. You adopt that, you'll be sitting with sickness and infirmity for a long time. Jesus said in Matthew 28, said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. If all power in heaven and earth has been given unto him, then that means the devil is not your problem. Because therefore I give unto you power. It's how to appropriate it. It's the problem. Amen. Go to Ephesians 1. The devil. How many of you know he's defeated? You got that part. So if he's defeated and Jesus took the keys of death and hell, then he's not the problem. Amen. He goes, behold, I give you power over serpents and scorpions, over all. Say all. That's found in Luke 10. All the power of the enemy. So if he gave us power over all of it, then he's not the problem. Amen. I'm waiting on true faith. And that is all I'm waiting on. I'm going to define true faith for you tonight. You should walk out of here understanding what faith is. Because if you got it, it's going to manifest. The worst thing you do is think you're in faith for your whole lifetime and never produce a manifestation. Then you're not in true faith. You're in faith that needs some help. Ephesians 1 verse 20 says, he's right in the middle of a prayer, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. Look at this, where he said, far above. Boy, if you all been here on the right hand of God, we went over this scripture 100 times. Far above principalities, powers, might, dominion. He's talking about the entire satanic government and the kingdoms of this world. He is seated far above it. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And put all things under his feet. All things. Now, if you go to chapter 2, verse 6, he gave you the exact same position as a joint heir. The exact position. In chapter 2, verse 6. Who's got a King James? I see, there you go. You want to read that? Chapter 2, verse 6, read that. Now, we saw where he's seated.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Together means together. That means you're with him. You are seated far above the principalities, and he has put all things under your feet. So it cannot be the devil. But he said, most people blame it on the devil. The reason why the devil has authority, because we have not adequately driven him out. When the children of Israel came in to the promised land, God already told them there was giants in the promised land. He already said they were there, but they came back. And they said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And because of that, the enemy was allowed to remain in what God said was theirs. He said it could not enter in because of their unbelief, the word being mixed with faith. Be careful, brethren. He goes, of a promise being left you of entering in, the same promise they were giving of entering in, they could not enter in because of unbelief, because they did not mix faith with what God said. Now, they could have went in there and come back, and Moses said, look, go back in the wilderness. It was a timing issue at that point, but the issue was an unbelief issue. They could not go in because of unbelief. God said, you are not ready. Back up. Back in the wilderness. The only way you're going to enter into a promised land is not by human sufficiency. It is not going to happen. Anything God's going to do big is not going to be done by human performance. It's going to be done God's way, and God's way is faith. But we have to understand what kind of faith this is. We must understand the dynamics of faith, how faith works. Because you can't just start exercising when the devil comes at you. You hadn't even been next to God in 3 months, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of a storm, and you decide you're going to take the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. And nothing happens. I rebuke you. And you shout it louder. I rebuke you. I said in the name. And then you, I said in the name. Nothing happens. Doesn't matter how much you shout it. You should have been exercising a long time before that time. Amen. Let's get to the good part. I hear this all the time. Timing. Here's another thing he said. Are you ready for this? We're going to get into the timing issue now. How many of you got the part that is really, though we blame the problem sometime on the devil, he's not the problem. In fact, when the manifestation comes, it will drive him completely out. It's getting the manifestation into the earth is the difficult part. And it does require what I adopted, or what the Lord said, true faith, not what we perceive as faith. Amen? We must understand the difference between our perception of faith, what we think faith is, because every one of you have a filter. You've been taught with a filter. And because of that, we have a perception of faith. But listen, true faith will move the mountain, period. Without it, it won't move. I want his definition, because if my definition doesn't work, we're not going to get the result. Amen? We need heaven in the earth. What we're looking to do is get everything that he inherited in the right hand of God into the earth. It's got to come through a catalyst or a venue called faith. But there's a lot going on with that. So let me show you what he talked about on the timing issue. This is a big one. Because here's what happens. When it doesn't manifest, what we do is say, well, it must not be his time. As soon as you do that, you've projected it out somewhere. And that's dangerous. Because it's never going to arrive as long as it's out somewhere else. All right. Perceived problem number two, timing. I heard the Lord say, there is a waiting. Boy, you got to listen closely. There is a waiting to them that have my word. And there is a waiting to those who do not. Waiting with my word will produce confidence, trust, hope, and peace, which is the foundation for true faith. Waiting without my word, abiding within their heart, will produce discouragement, confusion, and deferred hope. This is how the one day or someday faith is conceived. When you talk about timing with the Lord, generally that is adopted when something you wanted to come to pass did not come to pass when you wanted it to come to pass. And it didn't come to pass when you wanted it to come to pass, we adopt this thing called timing. Well, it must not be the timing of God. Generally, that happens in a waiting period. You're waiting on something. You have your hope set upon it. There's a godly hope, and then there's a deferred hope. You got your hope set up, and then it doesn't happen. And when it doesn't happen, discouragement enters in, deferred hope enter in. And once you get through all that, you adopt generally, it must be a timing issue here, because it's not happened the way and the when I wanted it to happen. Amen? That's a timing issue. Now I'm going to reread what he said to you, because this is really deep. You better get this. He says, I heard the Lord say, there is a waiting to them that have my word abiding in their heart. You've got to have been here the last 15 teachings to understand what I'm talking about there. I'm not talking about reading the Bible and saying, I've got the word in my heart. I'm talking about having a supernatural conception within you. Because the Holy Ghost was sitting down from the right hand of God, bearing the inheritance by which he transmits into the heart of a believer by a living word or a seed that has the full inheritance of the right hand of God compacted into it. And he sets it within your heart. That's what I'm talking about. Remember the teaching we did? To him that hath my word, to him shall be given, and he shall be given more abundance. But to him that hath not, my word, even what he seemeth to have will be taken from him. Boy, that was a revelation. That should have opened your eyes. Your eyes should have went boom. Because he's telling you right there, he says, if you don't understand this mystery, you won't understand any of them. And he was talking about the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he says, if you don't learn how to keep his word, because the enemy comes immediately to steal it. Where? How many times you heard me say this? The devil does not come to steal the word from your head. If you've been walking with God 20 years or longer, you have the knowledge you possessed 20 years ago. He doesn't come for that word there. You still have it. He didn't come to steal that, but he does come immediately to steal it from the heart. That's what he's after, because that's the birthing center of the kingdom. Everything that's coming down from the kingdom of God is coming through. You're the catalyst. You're not the kingdom. You are the catalyst for the kingdom. But it's going to pass through. Out of your innermost being will flow the rivers. Out of. Amen. So there's two waitings that goes on. There's a waiting to him that hath the word in their heart. And then there's a waiting to him that hath not the word in their heart. And here's what happens. Okay. Both of you. This is called the Mount Hebron War Manual. This just represents the mountain of generational inheritance, or the living word of generational inheritance. If you've been here for a while, you've heard me teach on this. It's the history of generational inheritance from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all the way to Christ. I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. Jesus inherited this mountain into the right hand of God. He sent it down to us by way of the Holy Ghost, which is a living word that exploded in the heart. So each one of us, Joanne, the Holy Ghost brought it down to her and she got it in her heart, brought it down to Tim. He got it in his heart. So both of them got the word in their heart. One of them was more skilled or experienced in keeping the word, because the enemy came and he couldn't get the word, couldn't get it. But then he came over here. But he got it. Now, something happens here. Now, what happens when the word of God is sown? It releases its DNA. It's in her as a living word. It's still in him. It's gotten into his DNA, but the living part of it's been snatched. The part that's going to bear the inheritance. That's been snatched, but he still has the desire. You understand? He still has the hope. He has the call now, because it got sown in him, but it was taken. But it's still intricately woven into the DNA, his spiritual DNA. But the living part of it that's producing the kingdom has been taken through a trial. But he still has desire. And I asked the Lord 100 times, you got to show me how this works. Because though the enemy's taking it, you still have the desire. You have the calling. And the Holy Ghost still wants to get it back in there. But the calling's still there. The destiny's still there. The desire's still there. But the living part of it's gone. It's snatched. But it's still with her. Now, both of them are now waiting for the manifestation of generational inheritance in the earth. All right? She's waiting and he's waiting. The body of Christ is waiting. But the two, there's going to be a distinct difference between the way the two are waiting. Because one is waiting with a living word in their heart. The other one's waiting with a word that was there, but taken. Still born again. Still loves God. Still goes to church. But this has been replaced. Now, listen to what I said here. It's for the benefit of MP3. He's just holding a black towel because the word's been taken. Now, listen to this again. I heard the Lord say, there's a waiting on them that have my word in their heart, and there's a waiting to those who do not. They're both waiting on the manifestation. Question is, which one are you? Waiting with my word in my heart, the one in the white over here, will produce confidence, trust, hope, and peace, which is the foundation for true faith. Because it's what, by faith and patience, you inherit the promise. Waiting without my word, you're still waiting because you've got the desire. Because it got woven in you, but the living part of it was snatched. You've got the knowledge of it. You still have the desire of it, but the part that produces has been snatched. Now that it's out of there, guess what? This doesn't produce trust and confidence and hope. It actually produces discouragement. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, because you still have the desire, but you have nothing living in there anymore because it's been taken. Your waiting is breaking you down while this kind of waiting is building you up. Oh, hallelujah. Who can see that yet? That one's waiting. It's producing hope and confidence and trust and love. It's producing peace and life because there's something living in there. Because you've guarded your heart with all diligence. It's full of the living word. But this one was snatched, but he's got desire. But he has nothing to cling to. He has no anchor. So it's producing hopelessness. It's producing hope deferred, making the heart sick. Discouragement. And becomes a great pain. And it requires a burden. There's a burden that weighs you down because, guess what? The desire doesn't leave. But there's nothing living in there that's producing the kind of image that God needs to release faith through. All right. Two waitings. Let's go back to what he originally said. I'm waiting on true faith. And that is all I'm waiting for. We are waiting for God. But if we are waiting without void, what does the Holy Spirit have to release through? It's going to cause a breakdown within you. It's going to cause a deferred hope. It's going to cause discouragement because that's not what faith was. We adopt the mentality, I'm waiting on God because I had a desire sown and it's in me, but the living part of it was snatched out of my heart. Therefore, I'm waiting on something to happen I have no grid for. I have no anchor for. And you can wait and wait and wait and wait, and you adopt the mentality, one day God will do it. This is what he said to me. Ready? He said, this is how the one day or someday faith is conceived. Because what happens when the word is snatched and you're back into this zone here with nothing there, but the desire was left and sown, then it starts producing discouragement. It starts producing turmoil and heaviness. It starts producing a hope that is deferred. It was a hopelessness. Because there's nothing to generate life and faith in there. But you still have the desire going on. Because I talked to somebody about this and they weren't getting it. Because I told them, I said, you got to keep the word in your heart. I said, yeah, but I've got the calling in me. And I didn't have an answer for them, but now I do. You have the calling, but the word's been snatched a long time ago. And you're getting beat up every day. Because you have no generator inside. You have no living generator. It was taken from you. Now, what happens, we project outwardly once we do that. Well, one day it's going to happen. One day or someday my ship's going to come in. Now, watch what happens when you do that. Guess where the word goes? Now, the reason I use this is because it's a specific word. When you're going to birth something, you're not going to birth the whole Bible at one time. Do you understand what I mean? He's going to give you something specifically to birth. It's a specific word. It may be a word, but it spans the scope of the entire Bible with generational inheritance. What I call one word, it's got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Caleb, Jesus, all that, the whole history of Mount Hebron. But when the enemy takes that, it's projected out there. It's out one day. Well, guess where one day is? It's not here anymore. If it's not here, what's the first thing that got us involved in this series? What's the first thing the Lord said to me? Anybody want to guess? You want me to just tell you? He said, if you're looking for my promise to manifest anywhere else but the veil of your heart, you are out of position. He actually said, you're out of alignment. And I didn't even know what he was talking about. Then the scripture, I hear the scripture being said, the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heavens to bring him down? Who shall descend into the deep to bring him up? What saith it? The word is very nigh thee. But if you're listening tonight, it's in your heart. It's in your mouth. What happens when the word's stolen from the heart? you have hope deferred now. It might be in your mouth. People are exercising from their mouth, but nothing's here anymore. That's what happens when the word is stolen. You haven't been in fellowship with God for 3 months, and all of a sudden you're going to shout at the devil because somebody said you got authority, but there's nothing going on in here. You follow me? It's just coming out the mouth. Now, what happens when the enemy steals that? Guess where this goes? It goes into tomorrow. It goes into one day. It goes into someday. It goes somewhere else. It goes out here. And what you do, for the benefit of the MP3, I'm holding the book out in front of me. I'm waving my hand out in front of my face. All your blessing is out here now. You follow me? You're looking for it out here. Instead of the way God does it, he brings it. The Holy Ghost comes and brings it down from the right hand of God, and he releases it within. And see, there's a waiting within too. But there's a difference between waiting with his word, him have my word, and a waiting without it. Because when you have it, it's going to produce peace. It's going to produce faith and hope. It's going to produce confidence. It's not going to take you the wrong direction. If you're exercising faith and you're continually hopeless, it's because the living part of that word's already been stolen from you. You got to get back in there with the Holy Ghost and get re-impregnated with a living word. Somebody say amen. Everyone say booyah. When you get in touch with the living word, because I don't care what the enemy's doing, I can move into the veil of the heart. It says, by acknowledging of every good thing that's in you. And I'm telling you, it won't take very long. That peace will start rising up. I'll start rehearsing this mountain, going through the history of it. I mean, the faith releases the hope. See, it's not discouragement. And see, what people think, they're operating out of faith. When they're waiting, they've already projected it outward. As soon as this word leaves your heart, you're out of alignment. Then what's going to happen? You're going to be out here with it. You're going to be looking for God to bring it to you from out there instead of knowing he's going to birth it from within. He is going to manifest it out here, but he's going to birth it from within first. You've got a waiting time. You've got to hold that living word. But once you learn to move into the veil of the heart, how do we do that? The communication of our faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us. We learn to acknowledge the Holy Ghost in us. You can't acknowledge somebody without giving attention to them. I can't say, hello, Anna, like this. Hello, Anna. She'd rather look at my better side instead of my backside. You don't acknowledge somebody without giving them attention. Hello, Anna. See, give your attention and your words. You look them in the eye and your words. That's how you acknowledge somebody. You've got to focus into the realm of the heart. The Holy Ghost abides in the heart. As you focus in, you acknowledge him where he is. He's come to abide in you and with you forever. As you focus and you speak to him, you'll get in touch with him. It won't be very long. You'll start feeling his presence. But that's the exact same place that he is releasing this living word. If you don't communicate in the realm of the heart, if you don't get in touch with a living word, it will get stolen from you like that. If you do nothing with the word, it'll be taken from you and you won't even know it. And what will happen, though, the desire will be left. Now, this has already happened to me, so I'm going to ask you how many of this has happened to you. You've had God impregnate you with a desire and a calling and a destiny, and somewhere along the line you've lost that, but the desire is still there, but it's not living and breathing, but the desire is there. The problem with the desire being there, without the living part of it being there, you are going to be discouraged most of the time. It's going to generate hopelessness because it's not the way God designed it to be. But you're waiting. Well, I'm just waiting on God. You can wait forever like that. But you get the living part of it back in there. You're not going to birth. Boy, some deep thought in here tonight. You're not going to birth because he has nothing to birth with. He's birthing the living word. You're going to carry it. There is seed time and harvest. There is faith and patience, but you're going to carry a living word. This is why Solomon in his wisdom understood this. He says, keep my words in the frontlets of thine eyes. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Keep them in your mouth. Keep it. Bind them. And then once you do all this, guard your heart where all this word is abiding. Guard it with all diligence, for out of it will flow the wellspring of life. You see that? if you don't guard, the worst thing ever is to get impregnated by a living word and then that word to be snatched. You're left nothing but desire and an empty hole on the inside of you. That's how you know if it's been stolen or not, because you have a desire. I've lived with many years with a great desire, but an empty hole in there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. If you don't, keep praying. If you've got a desire and an empty hole, there's nothing to birth with. You'll just go year after year after year after year after year with that. Until you get back, he says, he that abideth in me and my words abide in them, then you can ask what you will. So you got to get close to him again. See, this is for those who have ears to hear. If you don't have ears to hear, you won't hear what I'm saying. See, he that abideth in me and my words abide in him. See, you can ask what you will and it'll be done. As long as you still think you can do it, you won't do this at all. This is generally for those that have already been purged from Amalek and Ishmael. Because as long as we still got it in us, we're going to go the other route. We're going to produce this. You got to find out you can do it before you'll ever do it this way. Amen. But once you get back in gear, I got to get impregnated again. How do you do that? You get back in communion. You get close to him again. You're staying close to him. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will cause that word to revive again. Now it's birthing again in your heart. It's releasing again. You'll know this because it lives in your heart. You'll know you don't have it when the desire lives with a whole bunch of hopelessness. There's no living entity there. You follow? Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good? How many are going to keep his word? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. I said, what a mystery, Lord. How many are hearing what I'm saying? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Jesus, he constantly said, him that had ears to hear, let him hear. I want you to be able to locate what true faith is and what faith is not. Waiting with a desire is not true faith. Waiting with a living word in your heart, you're in the process of true faith because it's building an image that the Holy Spirit's going to be able to release from. And this is why when he started this, he said, I'm waiting on true faith, and that is all I'm waiting on. Once it releases through the veil, you've held it. He says to him that hath my word. What did he say in Mark 4? When we broke down Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13, what did he say? He said, hear the word of the kingdom. Understand, he that understandeth the word of the kingdom. You put them all four together, it's what they said. He that heareth the word of the kingdom. He that understandeth the word of the kingdom. He that receiveth the word of the kingdom. So you got the receiving part. But then the fourth one, he that keepeth until the birth comes. Because once you've received, it'll get into your spiritual DNA. Even when the enemy steals it, that living promise is in your DNA. But the life part of it's gone. Now you have desire with hopelessness. And that's why you see so many miserably pregnant people in the spirit. They got impregnated, but they lost the living part of it and they're miserable. Nobody knows that misery until the ones that have been impregnated. How many have been impregnated? You know what that misery is about. You know what, to carry something, but you're miserable because you lost it. You can get it back. All you got to do is get back in there with him and say, Holy Ghost, let's get it re-sown. Good thing about the Holy Ghost, he'll take that word the enemy snatched and said, let's try again. Ching, ching. Stick that back in there and let's go at it again. He'll keep bringing it. I mean, every time you get close enough to the Lord, you start abiding in him. Guess what? You cannot abide in him and that word not start abiding in you. He'll cause it to come alive again. That's why you got to stay close to him. If you don't stay close to him, the word's not going to stay in you. The enemy's going to take it. He's going to take it. Everything else will have the priority. Now you've got desire with hopelessness. Oh, that's painful. No more of those days. No more, no more. I'm going to give you some of the extra stuff with the king with the download, but those were the major two. How many understand waiting on the Lord now? Isn't that good? Timing. That's where your doctrines of sovereignty come in. Well, God will sovereignly do it when he gets ready to do it. He's always ready. He was ready as soon as he come off that cross and ascended into the right hand of God. He was ready. He was ready. These signs will follow those who believe. The works that I do, you will do also. He didn't say when the timing's right. give me a Pentecostal break. Those are doctrines that are created from people who've had the word stolen from their hearts. They have to blame it on something else but themselves, because they didn't have the true knowledge of what true faith was. True faith, the living word held in the heart of a believer until the birth comes. That's what true faith is. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to generate an atmosphere of faith. You don't have to do all that. All you have to do is get very skilled at holding that word and keeping the devil away from it. Do not underestimate him. I know that he's a defeated foe, but he's very good at what he does. The greatest skill that he has is his skill of deception and his ability to remove something from your life without you even know he removed it. Until you wake up to how he does that, he'll steal from you, because he said, to him who hath not my word, even what you seemeth to have is going to be taken away from you. Jesus himself said that. If he takes that word, what you don't understand when he's taking that word away from you because of our spiritual adolescence and our lack of diligence, when he's taking that word, what you don't realize, because you allowed him to do that, guess what else he's after? He can come and rend your life now, because all he has to do is come and look. If you got any word in you, if he doesn't see the word living in your heart, he can come take what you seemeth to have. That's what you think you have. That's all solidified. That's why the enemy can come just take. And you don't know why he's taking. The time that he's taking from you is not really what gave him the permission. And that's not the time to exercise faith. And I rebuke you. It ain't going to work. He already took the word from your heart. He took the word, and then he comes in another season and takes all your stuff, and you don't know why he's doing it, because he stole the word. When I got this word of the Mount Hebron inheritance, I got it in a heavenly encounter. I was taken up to heaven and given this. I was glorious. I was going to write a book. Woo, look at my revelation. Didn't care if I couldn't manifest it or not, just wanted to look at it. Didn't know the enemy was going to come. Boy, did he come hard. But he'd already gotten me out of it for a season. I had detached. I was coming up in here anointed, but at home I was already detached from the Lord. He had already taken this a long time before he really started stealing. Once he got the living word out, man, did he go to town. I didn't know what gave him authority. Every part of me was shaken. I couldn't understand why God would allow this to happen. What's that one? Indicting God, blaming him. How come you're letting this happen when Jesus himself said, to him that hath not my word, even what you seemeth to have will be taken from you. He was taking it at will, and I could not stop him. It's a very dangerous thing to hold the living word in your heart and let it go. You will be a target. The day you have the living word in you, you become target number one. That's a glorious thing. As long as you keep it, he has no access to you. That's what I learned. If I can just have enough discipline and diligence and maturity to pay attention to what God has given me and learn how to keep it and meditate upon it and give my time and attention to it. If long as I've got this here, he can come all he wants, but he cannot steal from me. He cannot take. Boy, when he took this out, guess what else showed up? Ishmael, Isaac. I see, I had the desire left in me. What desire? Generational inheritance. What does Ishmael do? I'll step in. Let's go to the investment world. Went into the best world, got it handed to me, hard, met mammon face to face, stole from me and somebody very close to me, just stole. It killed me. I didn't know how, why. I couldn't understand what was going on. Ishmael's a great enemy to the church. Thank God for dear friends. A great, 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 great enemy to the church. What is Ishmael? Abraham had two sons. You got both capacities. That one had to die. God crucified him thoroughly. I mean, just cut him down to the ground. Is there anything left? God has to get rid of that second son. It'll get in trouble. God's not going to birth Isaac with that one standing there. He had to get rid of all that. See, when Abraham started, what did we talk about? First thing was Eleazar, Damascus, remember? See, he had the desire. God impregnated him. He had the desire. But your first thing is, I'm going to look out here for God to do it. He kept telling him, it's in your loins, Abraham. But he never heard him. So he's looking at Eliezer. How about Eliezer? He's my heir. He's been a servant of my house. Great guy. Love him like a son. Let him be the heir. And God said, are you kidding me? Give me a break. Nope. Nope. No Eliezer. And Abraham goes on. Okay. It's got to come from my loins. All right. Well, Sarah's womb's dead. Let's get Hagar. See, at least he moved to the interior part, but he moved to the wrong interior part. He went from out here looking for God to birth it out here. So you got to get out of the outside. He does not do it out here first. He does it within. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If I'm going over your head, pray in tongues. Hallelujah. So he goes inside. He says, all right, I'm going to help God out. Now he gets into the interior part of him, but he gets into the wrong interior part of him. That's the Ishmael. Why? Because he's got desire burning on the inside of him. He didn't know what to do with it. But God told him what to do with it. He said, look at the stars, look at the sand. Don't let your focus off of those two. But he didn't listen. Started looking to himself to do it. And he birthed the Ishmael. So God said, next time I visit you, Sarah's womb, everything will be dead. There won't be nothing left. Isn't that amazing? God shows up when there's nothing left. And Moses is going to sit out there for a long time. Some of God's greatest servants had a lot to get out before he really used them. He kept Abraham out there a long time. Then 99, he approached him. He laughed in total unbelief. There's no way you're going to birth anything. I don't have it. That's good. She don't have it. That's better. Now let's do it my way. I'm going to get you in touch with the birthing center. I want the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore on the inside of you. And that's what I want you to look at. And don't look at anything else. I've removed everything else. Everything else around you is dead. When your circumstance is dead, it might be a good thing because God's focusing you into the right place. Everything else is dead. Everything is dead. Dead. Where you go in. You go in where the kingdom is. You go in the realm of the heart. Sometimes we're just good because we've suffered so much we just found the right place to live, you know. Because nothing else worked. It might be a good sign when nothing else worked. Because God doesn't need another flesh and carnal appetited church. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need mixture anymore. He wants power. He wants glory. And he wants to bring it through his people the right way. So you got to get in there and hold it. I'm not adding to it. Even Jesus said, I myself can do nothing. See, that part of you can do nothing. But there's an inner part of you that can birth. Once you birth, the Holy Ghost will move from the Holy Ghost within to the Holy Ghost without. And when he's without, he's going to come confirm the word. He's going to anoint. He's going to demonstrate. He is going to bring manifestation to the word. Man, I like this kind of preaching. Booyah! To him that hath my word, to him shall be given, and he will have more abundance. But to him that hath not, even what you have will be taken from you. Don't cry when the enemy's taken from you. Because as soon as you let him steal this word, what I say, when you let him, God doesn't let him. You were given the word. If you're not responsible enough to hold a word on the inside of you, if he takes that, he has a free rein to steal from you. I know you don't like to hear that, but that is the truth. I'm going to give you five blockages. Because this was another thing that kind of got into the download. Because he said it. He says, when most of the time it's a result of their own blockages. He goes, they blame me. But most of the time it's a result of their own blockages. Here's five blockages to the kingdom of God. I'll give these to you. I've already given you a couple already in the message. Whenever you touch the living word and it goes off on the inside of you, you know the living word's there. You'll know it when it's there, and if you get skill enough, you'll know when it's not. Because you'll have an empty void with a whole lot of desire, and it's going to produce pain and hopelessness. That's how you know the enemy's done stolen your word. Everyone said, amen. Ishmael and Amalek, major, major blockages. As soon as Ishmael goes off and inside of you, human sufficiency, the works of man, what did the Bible say? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amalek is out of your sweat, out of your brow, from the sweat of the brow. See, the devil's going to bring it out of your flesh. He's going to bring the waters of the flesh. God brings them out of your spirit, the living waters versus the sweat of the brow. That's Amalek and Ishmael, twins, they're brothers. and they'll block. As soon as you start operating one of those, God will step back. The Holy Ghost will never contend with your Ishmael. He'll let you go on and do it. How many times have you seen, you've seen me birth them? And when you birth them, you live with it. It's your baby. And you get to eat the fruit of it too. Amen. And so when it happens, the Holy Ghost will step back. That will block the flow of the kingdom major. Most time you don't know when you're doing it in the beginning. That is just something you got to experience and grow through. But if you get around people that are wise, they'll tell you, if you'll listen to them, they'll tell you that ain't God. And you're just bound and determined. Well, it is God. Bless God. I'm going to do it anyway. Well, have at it. Because once you're convinced, you're convinced. You're going to have to go eat the fruit of it. Amen. Trespasses. Got into that heavy. And you can get that on the website. Overcoming trespasses. You have a trespass of unforgiveness, offense. If you have that abiding in your heart, it will block the flow of the kingdom of God. It says, if you cannot forgive a man his trespasses, neither can your Father forgive you. In fact, he says he cannot forgive you. If God cannot forgive, this has nothing to do with salvation. It has everything to do with the flow of the kingdom. If your trespass is not forgiven under heaven, then it's going to be bound to you and it's going to block the flow of the kingdom of God. Got to have the Holy Ghost clean your heart out. Trying to forgive somebody in the flesh is futile if they have deeply, deeply scarred and wounded you. You cannot forgive them in the flesh. You can say, I forgive you all day long, but you can't break the trespass. That is a spiritual trespass. It must be broken in the realm of the spirit. If you don't know how to do that, you need to get with Chuck or Anna or our Sozo team and let them lead you. If you have too much pride to do that, well, you're going to live with it and you're going to be blocked. Amen. Habitual sin, number three. God has mercy, tender mercies. He understands your struggles in many areas. As long as you hate it as much as he does, he's going to work with you and keep flowing through you. Once you start doing something and think you're getting away with it, I was just talking to somebody a while back, and this person loves God, fellowship with God, living with somebody. I'm thinking, how do you think the kingdom of God's ever going to flow through you like that? Ever. See, once you start thinking you're getting away with it, just part of the program, it'll set a blockade and the kingdom of God will stop flowing in your life. And you won't get the treasures of the glories of heaven into your life. Won't work that way. Fourth one, huge, misalignment. I've been talking to you all night about misalignment. Word of God is taken from your heart. You'll look for God outwardly. You're going to want him to do it every which way, but the way he does it, the only time you're going to start centering back in when the word gets back in there. You can't center into your heart without a living word there. If there's a void, you can't center there. You'll look out here. You can look for God to bring it to you out here. Constantly, it's going to be a one day, someday, somehow. When God, when, how come God, all these questions because you're out of alignment. How many understand that? It's kind of got ears to hear. Amen. Fifth, disobedience. This is the hard disobedience. When God's really told you to do something and you're disobeying him and you're living a life of disobedience and rebellion to him, you cannot expect the kingdom of God to flow. It'll block the flow of the kingdom. So those are some of the things there you give yourself to. The number one thing is get centered with a living word on the inside of you. Get it in your mouth. Get it in your heart. Learn to live in the realm of the heart. Get the living word operating in the heart. And then learn to keep it. And it's with faith and patience. He added the word patience because there is a waiting time with a living word. It's like seed time and harvest. You plant that seed, you got to hold it in there. But once it births, your enemies will be driven out immediately. Stuff you've been dealing with for years. Mountains you could not move in the natural. Mountains that just buried you season after season. They'll crumble right in front of your face. They will literally crumble because that word will come barreling out. And the authority of that living word, when it gets out, it will move the mountains out of your life. It will move them. They'll crumble right in front of you. And that is a glorious day because now you have a victory that's been secured from heaven itself. You have an anointing that's been secured from heaven. You have an authority that came down out of the right hand of God, and you will not struggle like that again in that area. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You are teaching us. We are giving birth to the kingdom of God. We hold thy word. We hold it in the midst of our heart. We today, right now, we ask forgiveness, Holy Spirit, for the times we've grieved. You're working with us all the time, but we've gotten away from you. Forgive us. Oh, the things that have taken so much priority, we don't even know how to get in touch with you anymore. We just live miserable all the time. We don't want to be in one day faith. We want to be in now heart faith, living faith, coming from the realm of the heart.